In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Good morning, sunshine. Welcome to another day of the Make Your Damn Bed podcast. Today, we're talking about embracing ambiguity. And according to Wikipedia, ambiguity describes a body of information in which an image, sound, phrase, statement, or resolution is not uniquely defined, making several interpretations plausible. A common aspect of ambiguity is uncertainty. It is thus an attribute of any idea or statement whose meaning cannot be definitively resolved according to a rule or process with a finite number of steps. The concept of ambiguity, though, is generally contrasted with vagueness. An ambiguity making specific and distinct interpretations are totally permitted, although sometimes those interpretations won't be obvious, whereas with information that's vague, it's pretty difficult to form an interpretation of the desired level of specificity. The way I understand it is that vague is lacking in detail or precision so that it can apply to different things in different ways if we consider different contexts. Whereas the concept of ambiguity exists when a term can be reasonably understood or interpreted in several ways. According to the National Institute of Health, a great example of this is the word bank. If I say I'm going over to the bank, I might be referring to the Riverside, or I might be referring to a financial institution. And this doesn't mean that things can't be both vague and ambiguous, but there is a slight difference between the two. I'll be quoting Wikiversity quite a bit for this episode because I found an entire breakdown on the concept of embracing ambiguity, but I'll also be including the other resources in the show notes if you're interested. But much of the information that we encounter on a day-to-day basis is fairly ambiguous, but ambiguity could be really uncomfortable. As I get older, I start to recognize how much of my stress is caused by me wanting to control things. And if we consider how ambiguous most of the information we're receiving on a daily basis is, it makes sense that that would be really uncomfortable and confusing if we don't learn how to embrace the fact that ambiguity will always exist. Quoting Wikipedia here, it says, "Our urge for certainty often causes us to overlook the richness, complexity, nuance, and range of possibilities inherent in ambiguity. Learning to become comfortable with ambiguity long enough to explore the possibilities within it allows us to enhance our creativity, expand our understanding, reveal nuance, expand possibilities, enrich our beliefs, and improve our decision-making. It can also help us escape polarization, overcome biases, reject stereotypes, and increase our creativity. And when we become open to more than one interpretation, we do embrace the concept of ambiguity in general. There is a very famous image that I'll include in the show notes of an animal that, depending on how you look at it, is clearly a duck or clearly a rabbit. And it all comes back to how we interpret the observation. Interpretation occurs when you assign an observation to a category. When you name something rather than describe it, you are basically assessing it or judging it. And this assessment or judgment resolves that feeling of ambiguity. It gives us a clear, defined interpretation. Even if you see that there is a duck and a rabbit, you have labeled it a duck rabbit. You eliminated so much uncertainty from looking at that picture. The problem is, when we put our judgments on ambiguous situations, we are dismissing information to ensure that it fits into our definition. Thus, we are limiting possibilities. According to this wiki, the label we use frames the issue. The names we give to plans or policies or proposals determine what associations and images come to mind when we think of them. And below that, they offer us a list of labels, right next to a list of alternative labels. And as I read through a couple of examples, I'd like you to consider the emotion I elicit depending on the label I share. The first is illegal alien versus undocumented worker. The next is lied versus misspoke. How about meatpacking company versus slaughterhouse? How about let go versus fired? What about sacrificed versus killed? What about climate change versus global warming? Or collateral damage versus civilian casualties? So again, these labels that we choose frame the issues we're discussing. When we use euphemisms for something, we often don't realize that we're slanting those ambiguous terms to tend towards our own personal beliefs and feelings. Basically, if there's many interpretations available, choosing one based on ideology may gain closure, but that closure only comes at the expense of accuracy and exploration and possibility. This mechanism of ideology is how we get polarizing beliefs. If we can unwind our hell-bent nature on understanding and controlling the narrative, then maybe we can find common ground within the fact that the narrative itself is ambiguous, even if the story itself isn't. In my interpretation, it comes back to having an open mind and understanding that there are many ways to think about something. And even if we are quote unquote right in our ideologies, limiting ourselves through using language that only accounts for our ideologies means we will never be able to find the common ground we're looking for when we communicate with other people with varying interpretations or ideologies. Arthur Miller has this quote that I found in the wiki that says, "The only thing I am reasonably sure of is that anybody who's got an ideology has stopped thinking." I'll leave you with this. It says, as soon as we label an object, use a mental model, or invoke an analogy or substitute an interpretation for some set of observations, we substitute the map for the territory. Yet we know the map is not the territory. A map is a simplified and often distorted representation of the corresponding territory. And when we rely on the map rather than the territory for forming beliefs, deciding, or planning actions, we risk misinterpreting the territory and embracing a distorted view of reality. Do not mistake a symbol for reality. There's a quote that says, "All models are wrong. Some are useful." And though today turned a lot heavier and more philosophical than I expected, I think it is a really valuable tool to remember that the map is not the territory, and that even if our interpretation of the map is a better interpretation than the people around us, it is still just that, an interpretation of a resource meant to guide, not to live by. Either way, I love you so much. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day, and I'll talk to you tomorrow while you make your damn bed. Goodbye, beautiful.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.